everybody. Welcome to Who Cares About the Rock Hall, a podcast about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I am your host, Joe Quazala. I do a lot of research for the show, and I know everything about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. For that, I will not apologize. With me, as always, diametric opposite of all those things I just said, perhaps, Kristen Studdard.
Hi. Yes, I don't do much research if I can help it. I am the voice of the people, but you know what? Not diametrically opposite, because I also will not apologize.
Damn. This whole time.
Yep.
And very excited to have our guest with us here today, LA-based singer-songwriter Jametta Rose.
Hey, what's up? How y'all doing?
Jametta, thanks for joining us and being a part of this weird show. I'm prepared to call it a weird show.
I'm dipping my toe in. I'm trying to figure out the temperature of the water. What's up?
Yes, I have been you on so many occasions.
Yeah, in many ways you reflect the way Kristen feels about this whole thing.
Oh. Yes.
So this is about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Now, I want to take the temperature of you in terms of what do you know about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, if anything, or do you ever think about it? Does it ever even come across your path?
I know about it. I know that it's a place that you can receive accolades from if you have made great contributions to music in all genres now, mm-hmm. not just rock or rock and roll.
Not
whatever.
What you might think of as traditional rock bands.
Right.
The term rock and roll is more inclusive.
Yeah.
In terms of how they describe it.
So my question is, I guess what I don't, so that's what I know about it. Mm-hmm. And I don't know about how you go about being submitted, or if you're selected only, you know, mm-hmm. or if you can submit yourself for consideration.
That would be amazing. I would love that.
Yeah. If you could self-submit and be like, why not me?
What about my... No, I'm just playing. No.
Yeah, it's like how you can send your CD to a radio station.
Right. It was an honest question, though.
I will enlighten you.
Yay.
There is a nominating committee full of, I guess you would... Ideally, they would like to be called music experts.
Okay.
But these are journalists. These are some musicians, like... Dave Grohl, Tom Morello, Questlove, those are all people who are on the nominating committee. And, you know, people who ran labels, people who are in the industry. It's about 30 people or so. And every year they get together, they come up with a list of names.
They eat a big sandwich.
They don't eat a big sandwich.
I'm sure they have steak.
From what I've been told, they have very nice... deli sandwiches from Carnegie.
Oh. What I like to imagine is that they get one giant submarine sandwich that goes down the middle of the table, and at one point they all have to lean in and take a bite together.
As though their hands were tied behind their back.
Say, and those are the noms.
This just became a scene from Eyes Wide Shut. Everyone's eating a sandwich with their hands mm-hmm. tied up.
Yep.
Kristen brings this up a lot, but Jametta, you're the first person to recognize the odd eroticism. The weird eroticism behind this fantasy.
I mean, they could use their hands. They could all lift it up. I mean, it's cute either way.
I mean, the way you do describe it, though, is that it's face forward.
I mean,
you said take a bite.
Take a bite, like that they would lean forward. It'd be cute if they did. I think that would be very cute, and I think it would help their team bonding.
Definitely a photo op.
Sometimes Kristen brings this up to people who are actually in the room, and they're very confused.
Yeah,
because they're like, that's not
like,
what we do.
We're on the nominating committee, and they're like, we don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, no. Oh, wow. Yeah. I love this. Okay, so.
Yeah.
It's uncomfortable when mm-mm. Kristen brings it up.
They love it, and everybody else loves it, too. Right,
the water
fans?
Has waves.
Hoagie Hive, unite.
Hashtag Team Hoagie. I'm hashtag Team No Hoagie.
Team Nogi? I can't believe you didn't.
Oh, wow. Yes. Hashtag Nogi.
Outrageous.
All right.
So
they all, but
that?
Yeah, they all get around, and then they each get to stand up and kind of submit a couple of artists that they want to vouch. I can't believe I'm mm-hmm. like taking over.
Yeah,
an
you're taking the reins, Kristen.
Wild. They each stand up, and then they give a little kind of a pitch for just a quick one or two sentences about the artists that they think should be nominated that year. They all go around. Everybody says their top three. What are they?
Two. Have? Maybe each person on the committee submits two artists that they think are worthy to be on the ballot. And then they all vote on the names that have been brought up. And then there's a list of about 15 or so that make the ballot for that year.
And then those ballots get sent out to...
about 1,000 people who are the voting body. And then the voters choose... who they want to be in the hall, and then a class is announced at a later time.
So they get a ballot, and they can choose five names mm-hmm. on the ballot.
Correct.
And just like that.
Wow. And that's how the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame works.
Wow.
And right now, well, we are in the middle of things because the ballot has gone out, and people are submitting their ballots back. They're voting. So we don't know who's going to be in the class, but we do know mm-hmm. who is on the ballot currently. Now, why don't we play a game as okay. though you are a voter, Jametta?
Okay.
So I'm going to give you, this is what the ballot.
This is a nice time to be talking about voting. Everyone needs to just be aware.
It's true.
Okay. All right.
Oh,
all
I talk about voting on this podcast a lot.
So, Jametta, now you have a ballot, okay. right? Those are the names that you can pick from, and you can pick five.
Oh, okay. Cool.
So let's say you're filling out your ballot. Who do you choose?
All right.
And you can think
and
out loud.
And I can pick five, which is so good. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So let's see. I would pick definitely Rufus and Chaka Khan. I'd pick Whitney. I'd pick Dave Matthews.
Let's pump the brakes. So
wait.
No.
I want to hear a little bit about. I mean, we'll talk about Rufus at length. Later in the program. And then Whitney makes sense given the same kind of genre.
And collaboration status.
Yeah, I mean, if you're just picking artists who have done I'm Every Woman, then you have to pick those
two. Then you got to pick Whitney.
That's true.
I would love to know, though, Dave Matthews, you picked as your third one. Just, I would love to hear what you're thinking.
Do the voters get this kind of commentary all the time? Oh. Like, do they have to explain their choices? Because I wasn't finished with my five selections, and uh-huh. I think that selection surprised you, and maybe my others might have.
Yeah,
but now it feels like thinking. Do the voters do that? Do they have to send why? Mean?
No. They just submit a ballot. Oh, okay. We just for the sake of conversation,
I would love to hear why.
We kind of mix it up as we're going along.
Well,
if you want, you can finish out your five, and then we can talk about the group.
Yeah. Okay. So. Yeah, because I was trying to make my choice. It kind of just messed up my thought. So Dave right. Matthews, I liked. I can't name a song by him.
Wait, what? But so, you just remember.
I'm talking about cultural contribution.
And the familiarity oh, okay.
Yeah,
as
and
well.
Familiarity. Like, I know him, so I figure. But I like Pat Benatar. Mm-hmm. And Notorious B.I.G., I like Notorious B.I.G., but Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I don't know. I would have to know the criteria of which I'm voting. But
well, if it is helpful,
I'd vote for Notorious
B.I.G.
just because I like the music and I
know. Yeah, no,
well,
that's valid.
That should like everybody's ballot is based on what their own personal criteria. Like this is your dream ballot. This is your fantasy ballot. You get to pick the five artists that you would want to receive your vote.
Right. Okay, so let's take off Dave Matthews. Sorry, Dave. No beef, but you know, let's take him off. I feel like Whitney, Rufus, Notorious B.I.G. I like the other people that I like on the list. Mm-hmm. I'm familiar with their music, but can't talk about their music like by song name. So I wouldn't vote for anyone else on the list.
You'd vote for those three and kind of leave the other two blank?
Well, if I wasn't able to just write in my own, yeah. Because I mean, I like Pat Benatar. I like Nine Inch Nails. Depeche Mode, I like, but Dave Matthews, I feel like the Doobie Brothers, I feel like I like them. They were like that blues band. But so like familiarity will make me just leave the other two blank.
I mm-hmm. feel like that is something that happens pretty, like in some cases, we've seen people say that on their ballots
online
that like people in the voting body, well, there was that whole thing with the guy from the Crickets.
Guy from the Hollies.
Yeah, from the Hollies, basically was like, I don't know any of these bands except for the Zombies, so I will be voting for them and sending it back in with just the one thing mm-hmm. clicked on it.
But the other thing to consider is like if you have a ballot, then you get to have a hand in deciding kind of what direction the hall goes this year. You know, so even if you're not familiar with the music, you could think, okay, well, this is an institution that tends to be pretty male. At the very least, I know if I write down Pat Benatar, that can help to correct the errors of this institution, so to speak.
That's true. We need to correct so many institutions then. I mean, send out all the ballots. Let us
true.
Correct.
Right.
Write the women in. Yes.
But the criteria for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is never really publicly established anywhere. It's artists that have made a significant contribution to rock and roll. And there are hip hop artists in the hall already.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, Tupac.
Tupac is in. NWA is in.
Beastie Boys. Beastie Boys. Public Enemy. Run DMC. Grandmaster Flash. So you would think, I think Biggie is, this is his first year eligible. First time on the ballot.
Nice.
And I think he should get in. First ballot. Queens.
Do you think that he will? You think he absolutely is going to? Or do you feel like?
I'm not sure. I would predict
up,
it.
Up until this point, you had been. But I think that now that we got the ballot out, it's like, is it going to happen?
Who knows? I mean, as we've seen, the Hall has been more and more classic rock artists are the ones that are the layups.
Okay.
Those are the ones that are most likely to get in. You never know what's going to happen with the Hall
of Fame.
Well,
that's good that they have a space where, you know, they can rack in all the rewards. That's great.
Well, and what's hard too about kind of this ballot is that so many people are dead.
That's true.
Of the artists.
This all is meant to culminate in one big induction ceremony. You know, the five or six or however many.
Oh, they're supposed to come.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. See, like, well, Shaka, listen, Rufus and Shaka can come through. Shaka will have on an outfit.
I'm excited.
She will be slayed to the gods. She will come through with her right. red hair. Go, Shaka. Go, girl.
I would love it. Well, you know, because Janet got in last year. Janet was the person I was the most excited about getting in last year. You can hear me actually almost cry on the podcast when I find out that she's getting inducted. And I don't care about the institution, but in that moment, I was like, this is so special and it
that
means something.
Was. And, I remember that.
And yeah. It was really, and so that's another question, I guess, is like, has there been any artists that you've like noted that you remember like, oh, they're getting in or, oh, they got nominated or has any like Rock Hall news
come across your radar?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I always am aware when it happens, but then it's not something that I am thinking about after. So it's not like
yep.
mm-hmm. I know who won last year. I now mm-hmm. know because you said it, but last year I remember
last
hearing
year,
about
like,
it.
All right, Janet,
and going,
go.
Oh my yeah. gosh, go, Janet. That is beautiful. Yeah. Just like that.
And it mm-hmm. was great.
And then then suddenly it was out yep. of your head and you moved on with your
no,
life.
No, for a little
people.
While after that, it was.
It stayed with you.
It stayed with me mm-hmm. because I was proud of her and they were like doing a lot of videos and memes.
It was really cool. Well, the thing about that though is she did not perform. She came, she accepted. The award, but she did not perform. And I think the you know the thought that we had was that she wanted too high of a production value, and she was kind of prepping for her Vegas show and all of that stuff.
And that show mm-hmm. is amazing.
Did
and
you
so
go
they
see
should
it?
Have just given her what she wanted.
I agree. Hey, that's always
she still got people dressing up, trying to be her background dancers, going to the concert. Like, come on, give her what she wants. She wants, you know, especially since I feel like Janet. For me, that win was so important because I feel like people tried to act like a wardrobe malfunction could end a legacy yeah. that was so much more. And so it's their loss that she didn't perform on television. What mm-hmm. if she just doesn't want to perform on television anymore?
You know, I hadn't even thought about
after
that.
After having
what,
been
in that regard,
having been yeah. trying to get reprimanded
well,
for a wardrobe.
What's his shit? What's
Les
his
Moonves.
Name? Les Moonves.
Yeah. And yeah. it's a wardrobe malfunction and like wardrobes that happens, but it just happened to be on television. And then they tried to act like they could do that. They could end the legacy or the contribution. Her star studded mm-hmm. legacy. Not only being from the family that she's from, but being a strong woman that was talking about being nasty and independent and you know,
taking
control of her life. And, you know, like, no, you don't get to do that. And so maybe she took control once again and was like, well, thanks for my award, but maybe I won't perform for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, you don't get
I
this.
Agree.
Come
I mean,
see me in Vegas.
That's I really do think that I hadn't thought about that. Aspect of it that mm-hmm. she might just not want to give anyone else control over anything that's going to go on television
mm-hmm.
after kind of being betrayed so much And also, you know, yeah, go see her in Vegas.
And then look at the Super Bowl now. I mean, let's not go there. Yeah. But so that's kind of how I thought about it. And that's why I thought about it so long, I think, is because I felt like it was triumphant. Like, oh, yeah, girl, go get those awards.
It meant a lot. It was really cool.
It was a long time coming.
And it was nice. And in her speech, you know, she talked about how the Hall needs to induct more women. And she and Stevie Nicks were the only two women inducted last year. And they both said something.
Jimena, did you see Janet when she was in Vegas?
Did I see her? No. Yeah. No, I didn't see the concert. My friends went.
Mm-hmm. They reported back.
I heard about it. I saw the footage, pictures. Yeah. They dressed up.
Have you seen Janet ever?
Live? No. Mm-hmm. Only, ooh. Which is why probably I noted that she hasn't done many TV performances since Super Bowl, because I look forward to seeing Janet live. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's always a spectacle and a
something. I don't think I have said this on the podcast because my mom just reminded me of this. When I was a child, a young child, my parents had split up and my mom had sent me, I was like away for the weekend visiting some other like family member. And my mom's friend called her and was like, Jackie, I have tickets to the Janet Jackson Rhythm Nation tour. Do you want to come with me? And my mom fucking went and saw Janet Jackson do the Rhythm Nation tour. And she reminded me of this, that I was so angry with her when I got from the vacation. She was like, you were so mad. She's like, I can't believe you don't remember how angry you were at me. Mom. She's like, you would bring it up. And it was like, well, you saw Janet Jackson. Like, ooh. I would turn it around on her. I would be like, well, you saw Janet Jackson.
Wow.
I had forgotten about that. She brought that up to me when I was speaking to her recently. So and that's so, you guys know it's real.
That's true. But you've mended that fence.
Yes. Yeah. My mom and I are speaking again. I don't bring it up anymore. In fact, it's so much water under the bridge, I have forgotten it.
And that's why we're happy that Janet got inducted. Yes. Because without that,
full circle,
they wouldn't have been able to patch that up.
No, it would have been irreparable.
That's true.
Jimena, have you seen Shaka live?
Live in person. I've met Shaka before.
Okay.
I was working at a restaurant and she came in as a patron. And so that was cool. But no, I've never seen her sing live. Same thing. Watched her on TV. It was great to see her at the Rose Bowl. I was hoping that she would sing like some of her older repertoire. But she like was the Grand Marshal at the Rose Parade.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
She was this year. And she, or I guess last year, is because it's coming up again.
You knew that, Joe? Did you know?
I know that she's done those events. I know she, what's the one in Chicago? The Bud Billiken?
The Bud Billiken Day Parade.
She's been, I think, the Grand Marshal there as well.
She does have a Grand Marshal energy. She's got Grand Marshal energy.
She does.
Shaka is from Chicago.
If she gets in, they'll do like some Chicago stuff. Kind of
thing. Oh, give
happening.
Them all the ideas,
I'm
girl.
Sure of it. I'm positive there will
be
some sort of parade. They'll have some, you know, little street side banners that say Chicago on them, like congratulations to hometown girl Shaka Khan.
Oh,
Chicago,
that would be good.
Loves you. Mm-hmm. It'd be great.
Jimena, I would love to know just your personal connection to Rufus and Shaka Khan and what they mean to you.
Well, for me as a singer and a songwriter, I have always been the girl with the voice that cuts through everything. Like in the choir, I had a loud voice. I knew how to blend. I just had a very strong voice. And so finding Shaka Khan's beautiful yet strong voice and realizing that you could have a very powerful voice and it can still be nuanced and you could sing funk and you could sing many different genres with a powerful voice was very inspiring for me. And so finding her through Rufus, their recording, I Know You, I Live You, was my first time hearing Rufus. I had already been familiar with Shaka before that point from being a kid, listening to her more popular solo stuff that was like more contemporary even when I was a kid. But I found that song and it took me down a rabbit hole to where I became familiar with the group and their sound. And Rags to Rufus is like that album. And then the rest of it is like more, I gather sound, and so it's still very inspirational because I feel like it's become a part of like music that I'm writing and working on now, and ideas and concepts that I'm writing have a lot to do with the group mentality of the 70s and 60s, where people would have bands and have bands of people doing things together. And so I feel like Rufus as a group inspired me in that way, and the fact of just collecting and witnessing sound and witnessing different ways of doing sound and figuring out how I would like to do it. So they're both very important to me.
Do you, and so, but you, so you kind of went retroactively, you were like into Shaka, you were familiar with her, and then kind of retroactively became familiar with Rufus and found Rufus. Mm-hmm. I mean, the truth of the matter, and I think, I don't know if we've ever said this on the podcast, but Joe has heard this fact about me, which was I knew who Shaka Khan was, and I thought that Rufus was just like, maybe they had done some duets and Rufus was a guy that they had maybe done some duets with. I did not know that Rufus was a band, a collective of many men, and that I had no idea. I mean, because I knew who Shaka Khan was. I mean, I knew Ain't Nobody and
I Feel For You.
I Feel For You. And then I knew I'm Every Woman, but I knew it through Whitney Houston. And I even learned like Shaka Khan's name from Whitney Houston
just
saying,
shouting it at
Shaka
the end of
Khan
that movie.
At the end. I mean, that's it's. And that whole music
Pass
video.
The torch, yeah.
And it was like, that was how I ever learned about her. But beyond that, like my knowledge of the Rufus music is really going to be,
we're going to give you
limited,
a lesson.
Baby.
We're
going
to give you a
this
lesson.
Like from today, play something. Let me hear it.
Yeah. I think, especially people kind of our age, you know, Shaka Khan was so huge. And what she was able to achieve in terms of success and popularity was bigger than Rufus. And then also Rufus, their heyday was a full decade before Shaka Khan's solo heyday.
Yeah, but the reason why I think this nomination is important is because I don't know if Shaka Khan would have become the Shaka Khan that was and is so legendary now without going through the path of having worked with Rufus and the music that they made being very signature of her sound, and then building from there and working with Prince and working with Stevie and working with these different writers, but having a sound that they knew worked with her voice already and exploring from there, I think was a part of why we have Shaka Khan, the artist we have today, that should also be in the Hall of Fame separately from Rufus and Shaka. But Rufus and Shaka should be in the Hall of Fame.
That's where it all began. And it was a band. It wasn't like she was given a backup band. They came up together. I mean, they were playing bar shows in Chicago.
Right.
And it is a band. And it was Rufus originally, and then by the third album, just because Shaka was so magnetic and people were so taken by that voice, it became Rufus featuring Shaka Khan.
I see. So originally she was just a member of Rufus?
Yeah,
originally she was a percussion player. And so it's interesting that you said she has the Grand Marshall energy.
Yeah.
Because she did. She had the Grand Marshall energy. She was playing percussion. And they were a band that was trying to find their sound, too. They had another name that I think was a...
Before they were Rufus, there was a lot of the members of the band were in a group called American Breed.
There we
Is
are.
Is that it?
That's who American they were before
so,
Rufus.
Yeah, so American Breed also had a huge hit called Bend Me, Shape Me. Bend Me, Shape Me. Like, you hear that song. I mean, it's a 60s song.
Yeah, that is
song.
A 60s jangly little rock song.
And it does not feel... Then you think of Shaka
or a
Khan.
A groovy little
it's
rock
the,
song.
The evolution from that point to point.
I mean, that is a different...
So...
That's a different decade, and very clearly.
Members of American Breed were starting... They were trying to get another band going in Chicago, and they had this woman named Paulette McWilliams, who was their singer. And they were doing shows in, and she wanted to break off solo. And her best friend was this woman named Shaka Khan.
Whoa.
And was like, I want to go solo. They need a singer. Do you want to sit in with them? And then apparently as soon as she was there, the chemistry started building. And their first album, Rufus.
Wow. I mean, R.I.P. Paulette, though.
Yeah,
poor
I know.
Thing.
What,
I mean,
what
like,
a decision.
Like, she's like, I'm going to go solo. It's like
I wonder
that,
if they're still friends.
It's like the Michael McDonald yeah. thing.
yeah, with that feeling when a singer leaves and then someone replaces them and then they take off.
Oh, my God.
Well,
yeah,
but the feeling of being replaced by what's supposedly your best friend.
Yeah. Well, and that you said to do it.
Yeah, you decided to leave.
Yeah.
Right. And, you
and it just
be...
wasn't that chemistry. So wondering if everyone involved was mature enough to yeah. deal with the situation.
I wonder if Paulette was salty
friends.
About it or if they are friends. That's a good question.
I don't
question.
Know. I mean, because it was her choice and they were friends and it was like, I'm leaving. It's my choice. I want you to be a part of this. And also, Shaka was very young.
Yeah.
Oh, Shaq was like 17
yeah,
years
then
old
I'd be
or
super bitter. I leave. A 17-year-old comes, takes my place, and then things start going well. I'm coming back.
Yeah, right.
Hurricane Christie.
You are retroactively adding me to all of the songs.
Yeah, there can be two singers.
I will not be erased.
But,
I was singing across town.
Yeah.
That first album, Rufus, Shaka's not singing lead on every song. So there was very much that collaborative vibe of like, okay, this guy Ron Stockert's going to be singing lead on some of these, and everyone has a different creative input. But once the public kind of got a hold of the songs that Shaka was singing, mm-hmm. then it became like that was the focus. Then and then they did Rags to Rufus, and then from there on, every album was either called Rufus featuring Shaka Khan. That was the most consistent, but they went through a lot of different. It was Rufus and Shaka, Rufus with Shaka Khan, Rufus and Shaka Khan. Like they never were fully consistently
yet,
the same.
Shaka
name.
Never gets to be first. Never Shaka Khan and Rufus.
Well, I think that's. I mean, I think it's because it was not a backup
yeah,
band.
Yeah, no, I agree.
But it is an interesting thing about when someone's full name is in the name of the band.
Yeah,
because you wouldn't induct Tom Petty solo and then also Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That mm-hmm. wouldn't make any sense. But you could make a case for Rufus featuring Shaka Khan as its own thing and then Shaka Khan's solo work as its own thing.
I'm starting to get really excited, honestly, about the prospect of them getting in. And it worries me because, well... Because I'm just thinking, I'm like, wow, they've made a lot of songs and I'm remembering a lot of songs now. And mm-hmm. I'm like, I like a lot of these songs. And I'm like, oh, damn it. And this is their what number nomination?
Yeah.
So they've been on the ballot a lot of times.
They've been on the ballot quite a bit. And we'll get to that in a second. So part of the reason why the Hall of Fame is such a frustrating at times an annoying institution is because how can you really be objective about music, right? Like, how can you say that one thing is better than another thing when it hits everybody differently? It right. means something differently to everybody. So to try and make sense of something that is difficult to kind of parse out, what I've done is I put together a list of categories in an attempt to be objective. And if I think if a band does well, if an artist does well in these categories, they have a good case for induction. So we're going to take a little bit of a break, and then when we come back, we are going to see how Rufus stacks up. We will be right back. Welcome back, everybody. We hope you had a nice break. We hope over your break you
I hope that you referenced what you thought was a popular turn of phrase, and
you learned it's not,
and you learned that it's not, but you didn't let that deter you from
having confidence
in
your
life.
Future. So let's talk about Rufus featuring Shaka Khan. They became eligible for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame the 1999 induction ceremony. They were first nominated in 2012. And then Shaka Khan solo was nominated.
So it took 13 years for them to get their first nomination?
Correct.
Okay.
Shaka Khan solo was nominated in 2016, mm-hmm. and then again in 2017. Then they went back to nominating Rufus in 2018, and then in 2019, and then this year, 2020. So Rufus has been nominated 4 times, and then Shaka solo has been nominated 2 times. Shaka has been on the ballot the past five ballots.
They like
in some inter- in some incarnation.
They want her in. It is so clear. Is this a Questlove push? Do you think?
You know, I've learned that a lot of people on the committee bring her up. That he's not the only one.
So it's not even just like one person's pet project.
So there's a woman named Amy Linden who's on the nominating committee, and she had said on her own podcast recently that she brought up Shaka. She brought up Rufus this year, but someone always does. That was kind of the impression that she gave, was like, the whole room is on board. That's why they keep getting nominated. Everyone's like, this is ridiculous. They have to get in. So it happened to be her this year and might have been someone else the other years. Shaka inducted Laverne Baker in 1991. So Shaka has been to a ceremony before and has been involved. She gave the speech inducting Laverne.
Can you tell me about Laverne Baker? Do you know anything about her?
Laverne Baker, the song you might know from her is Jim Dandy.
Jim Dandy to the rescue. Jim Dandy to the rescue. Jim Dandy to the rescue. Go, Jim Dandy. Go, Jim Dandy.
I wonder if she was singing about the chicken place. It's a place called Jim Dandy, I'm telling you.
Comes to the rescue.
That song is great, and I do know that one.
Yeah, it's like a standard.
Laverne
yeah.
Baker.
Okay.
Cool. Now, let's go through these categories with Rufus featuring Shaka Khan. First category is critical acclaim. Now, I believe this was an artist that the critics liked, but I also don't think of them as darlings. I don't think they were reviled. I think they tended to get good grades, as it were.
You know, they mm-hmm. were an edgy band, and like Shaka's attire and how sexual the lyrics were. When they first came out, I mean, America was still coming out of the 60s mm-hmm. when they were a lot more conservative. And so I wouldn't say maybe critical acclaim, but I think that the critics liked Shaka's voice, and that's how they became Rufus and Shaka. And so I feel like maybe not as critically acclaimed as say the Beatles or something, but critically analyzed, and like, you know, always
they took
up
the
for,
feedback
yeah
they took
always
the feedback
up for
and applied it. You know, I wonder too if it could be, we see this a lot where maybe a band is, it's like almost they're too popular. They're too much of a party band. They're too, you know, like that. Mm-hmm. And so they don't get a lot of critical acclaim. It's like, you know, they're not serious enough. You know, they're not
sure.
introspective enough. They have like a bit of a disco influence as well, which is not, you know, critical.
Yeah, absolutely. Has taken a long time for disco to get the recognition that it deserved as being good music mm-hmm. because it was dismissed mm-hmm. in its time mm-hmm. and especially towards
and
the
actively,
end.
Actively, you know, reviled by mm-hmm. some.
Absolutely. But yeah, the press definitely gave a lot of attention to Shaka. And then that was how
Grand Marshal Energy. She's out there. She's got, I mean, mm-hmm. the hair, the outfits,
the body, the smile,
the voice,
the voice.
Come on, the full package. Put her in.
next category is classic albums. And this, we can tie this to critical acclaim in a sense in how we look at the Rolling Stone list of the 500 greatest albums of all
time. Here's what I do want to say. Mm-hmm. I got to give just a special applause to the album title Rags to Rufus. I like it because it's not a pun, but it kind of is, and mm-hmm. you know, I'm into it.
It's a little, it's playful.
It's playful, and I like it.
Yeah,
so it gets on my list. But
do you want to hear the albums first?
Yeah,
or, okay, so that first album in 73, Rufus, was the one where it was not featuring Shaka yet. They didn't really understand what they had. You know, there are other people singing lead. And then Rags to Rufus is when the rise begins. And then Rufusized is the one after that.
Rufusized?
Rufusized.
They were in a groove with naming these albums. That's a wild name.
And it seemed like they wanted to make sure you didn't forget about Rufus.
Mm-hmm. That's
you
true.
Know?
Because then the next one is called Rufus featuring Shaka Khan.
Oh, just self-titled.
And then the next one after that is called Ask Rufus, which is tip of the hat to their original mm-hmm. name. And then Street Player, Numbers, Master Jam. And then at this point, they were starting to do albums without Shaka. because she went off solo, and she would still record with them sometimes, but they were, as she was doing solo albums, they were doing albums just as Rufus.
When was her, what was her first album?
So her first solo album, Shaka, was 78.
And when was the first Rufus album with her on it? The Rufus and Shaka albums?
The first one that had her name in the title? Because she was there for the first album, 73. Oh, okay.
73. So 73. Yeah. So they had like 5 years of putting out albums.
And they
with
were,
her.
I mean, Rags to Rufus and Rufus Sized were same year, 74.
People used to put out a lot of music. Yeah. Record contracts were wild.
They were brutal. I think one of the reasons why, even though she was going solo, she continued to record with them was because there was a recording contract that she had to fulfill.
Oh, it's crazy.
Yeah. So do you guys think Rufus has an album on Rolling Stone's list of the 500 greatest albums?
They absolutely do not.
Jimetta, what do you think?
Well, I mean, from if I was one of those voters, I'd vote for Rags to Rufus. Mm-hmm. Riches.
Yeah, I mean, it works. We love it. But I mean, I would love it if they did. I would love to believe that they did have one, but they don't. Mm-hmm. I'm almost sure that they don't.
They do not.
I am oddly in tune with the Rolling Stone.
You don't know anything about
chart.
It. You're good at guessing.
I don't know anything about it, and I usually come pretty close if they have an album with where it is on the top 500 for Rolling Stone.
Well, you got a knack at this.
It's a weird one for me to have.
Yeah, to find out what your true calling is and that it's this.
And that it's a thing that I don't really care about and can make no money from.
Yeah, pretty weird.
Just because you have to think of the Rolling Stone critics, mm-hmm. they're the same people who didn't like disco, who put the Beatles and Dylan and on every cover, you know, forever. And
right. And I think that that's reflective of the fact that Rufus probably did not get the due that they deserved from the critics. Now let's go to a category, recognizable songs. And I think their most iconic song is Tell Me Something Good.
Tell me something good. Tell me that you love me, yeah.
Written by Stevie Wonder. After he heard Shaka, he was like, I'm writing something for this woman. And originally gave her another song. She was like, no, I don't like this. And he was like, okay. And then he came back with Tell Me Something Good.
Wow.
And then I think the song that's kind of in the number two slot of the songs people know by Rufus is at the very, very end before Rufus broke up, which is Ain't Nobody. They were starting to break up, and what they did one side of a live album, they actually got together in the studio and recorded a bunch of songs, and Ain't Nobody was one of them. It
you
was
know
like
what's
one of the
interesting
last
about Ain't Nobody, though, is it doesn't feel like a song with a band on it. You know, it really feels like an electronic track.
It feels like a track.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it is, I mean, it was written by a Rufus member. It was written by a guy named Dave Hawk Walensky.
Oh, of course.
Who wrote a lot of great late era Rufus songs and not included in the list of people to
All
be inducted
right.
with
Hang
Rufus.
Hang on. I got to pump the damn brakes. Yeah. No.
Oh,
you got to put Hawk in.
I think we got to start.
Hawk in.
We got to start a movement to get
What's
Hawk.
Going on
you
with
really
Hawk
have
being
to.
Up there.
Now,
especially if he wrote Ain't Nobody. I mean, why he not
just
there?
Put him in?
And he also wrote another great Rufus song called Do You Love What You Feel? Do You Love What You Feel was a number one R&B hit. And I think if R&B artists are included in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and as we know they are, I think looking at the R&B charts, I think it's an appropriate measurement when you're determining what the iconic songs are from Rufus.
That song made me feel very good. What's the song that got you in Love You?
I Know You, I Live You.
I Know You, I Live You.
Right. Which is, I believe, technically a Shaka song.
Like I see the moon at night. I know you as if I've known you all my life.
in the club when I heard it the first time, and I thought that the voice sounded like me, like my voice. And I was like, who is this? Like, what song is this? I had never heard it. I thought I was more familiar with Chaka's repertoire and like her discography. So where I ran up to the DJ, and I happened to know the DJ, so they were gracious enough to tell me the song. And so I went home, I looked it up on the internet, I just listened to it all the time. And so I went to Amoeba and I started looking for the record, and I didn't find it at first. I didn't find the song.
So I know you, Olivia, was on What You Gonna Do For Me, which is a Chaka solo, but then it led you.
It led me to Rufus.
Down the path to the righteous, yeah. Rufus.
And I didn't really remember the title, and I was just like, okay, I don't see what the guy told me, I don't think, but maybe it's on this record, because it's like all the other songs that I knew were on records like Chaka, and like I knew those records, so I'm like trying to find something
the
unfamiliar.
One you didn't know.
Yeah.
And thank God for Amoeba. Shout out to KP and Jimmy over there, just John Lou, all the Amoeba family. But thank God for a record store where they didn't have it separated. Yep. So Rufus was
right,
with Chaka
with
Khan.
The Chaka music.
It, yeah.
That's a good point, too. I mean, now it's kind of, in many ways, people don't find music that way as often.
Yeah, in person. With your hands.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's much more rare these days.
Yeah, so truly. But what a nice thing to be able to experience, looking for something, but then finding what you weren't expecting, but then falling in love with it.
I also think that the evolution of the music is so evident in all of these. So it's like the 60s, that American Breed song that you played sounded mm-hmm. so 60s, so like groovy little 60s. Then we've got these like 70s funky ass jams. And then we get more kind of like 80s style productions, synth. Yeah. 80s synth type stuff.
Yeah, the computer starts taking over.
And you can hear it happening in this band. They are like the evolution of what music.
American music.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. And on Rags to Rufus, there's a song called You Got the Love.
You got the love. Give me the strength to keep on living. Yeah. Whatever it is, I can't do without what you're giving.
So it's a demanding song, you know, and I feel like that's what was really good about it being the first song on the record, is it demanded your attention. It demanded, it was saying like, hey, we're on to this new sound. And then she was able to sing in her sweet voice on there too, but then it goes right back into the hook. It's almost like she's negotiating at that point, where it's like, all right, I'll do anything you say, I'll do anything you want me to do, but like, you know, you got the love, I won't, just give it to me.
Yeah.
But really it's a demand, you're gonna give it to her. It was Rags to Rufus. I think that maybe they played upon the old saying, of course, or the common saying, but I think they also felt like they had made music that was like gonna change their lives.
Yeah,
like,
this is different.
They
now.
Knew that it. Yeah. They knew what they had.
We're not slumming it in Chicago bars anymore.
Yeah, we're moving
something.
To LA, or we're, you know,
we're tapping into something. On the next album, Rufusize, the big hit was Once You Get Started.
Once you get started.
The next number one was Sweet Thing.
Love me now, I'll go crazy. Oh, oh, sweet thing. Oh, you know you're my everything. Oh, sweet thing. Oh, you know you're my everything.
I have a journey with Sweet Thing, which is Mary J. Blige. The B-side to Real Love was her cover of Sweet Thing.
Uh-huh.
And I had the single of Real Love, and I listened 2-to-1 more to Sweet Thing. I did not know it was a cover. I was like, this song is incredible. It is. I'm now so partial to the Mary J. Blige cover. She does like a very beautiful vocal run at the end that is like, I remember falling asleep to it.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's not just a Shaka song. It is a Rufus.
Wow. Dang. Right. Okay. You know, yeah. I used to
so
be.
So who wrote that one?
That was Shaka with Tony Maiden, who was.
The guy that sings. He sings in the band too, right?
And he was the closest to Shaka and still sometimes plays with her.
You know, I had been. We've talked on the show before because I didn't know that I knew Rufus.
Right. No.
Which is a thing that I'm learning, you know? And so prior to this, I had been like, well, we need more women in the hall. We don't need one woman and then seven guys. Like, we don't need Rufus. Mm-hmm. Why are we trying to muddy up Shaka's induction?
Legacy,
like, what do we need them for? And now,
you realize that
I really do stand absolutely corrected on that.
While Shaka's solo career had great songs and iconic songs like I Feel For You. Mm-hmm. And I'm Every Woman. It's all in me. And Through the Fire.
I feel like those songs are great. And what is great about that is her songwriting and composition skills. I think the reason why she would deserve two awards is being a part of a group and being able to expand that group.
Extrapolate.
Yeah.
She extrapolate. Could come out and then transcend.
Yeah.
Right?
And then to go into another realm, because in that realm, she's co-writing. She's doing a lot of co-writing. It's mm-hmm. a lot more produced than, okay, someone gives you a track and you write to it and you write this and then you arrange the backgrounds. Mm-hmm. That's a whole nother...
Skill set.
Yeah. And so that's why the two things should be awarded separately. Because I remember earlier you said that maybe like not understanding the two things being separated.
Yeah. How do you make, do you make a distinction? Do you lump it all together?
Right.
I'm like put them in together just because there's a limited number of spots that they're going to put in every year. And we're having a hard time getting them in any way we can. I'm
right.
like, do it all. And you know, like, me, I'm like, put everybody
would
in.
Would it be fair on the ballot for it to say Rufus / Shaka Khan, meaning the band as well as the artist as a solo performer?
Ooh.
I think Rufus is, that's why they've been doing this with their like album Rufus, titles.
Yeah.
Is that they're like, look, remember Rufus.
We're the band. Like, this is it. It's not just
it's
Shaka.
Us featuring Shaka Khan. So it's kind of making you decide between the discographies.
It is.
Which isn't fair.
No,
it's not.
Yeah.
I think Shaka Khan on her own on a ballot is more enticing for people to vote for because it's the name that people know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when it comes to just Rufus, then even though that is probably the better discography and the more formative and foundational for what would come, it is not as recognizable
to the common person, to
the public. Yeah. It's a push and pull between what is the right thing to do and then what will get
how
you the result you want.
This is all voting, isn't it? God damn it.
Yeah, right? Yeah, I know. There are a lot of similarities of like, who do you want on the ballot, but who do you want to win?
Yep.
All right, let's talk about the next category, which is commercial success, which is pretty decent for Rufus.
Yeah.
Starting with Rags to Rufus, and then the next three out, those three albums that from Rags to Rufus featuring Shaka Khan all went gold. Ask Rufus went platinum. The next one was gold. Master Jam was platinum. So they were releasing albums that a lot of people were buying. They were very successful. They were a huge touring act as well. And then when Shaka went solo, then it took it to the stratosphere in terms of popularity. But Rufus was a very, very popular band in their time. The next category is longevity, and we've already kind of talked about a little bit of how they connect all these different eras of American music. Mm-hmm. I mean, Rags to Rufus was 74, and then by the time they released Ain't Nobody, that was 83.
They had a really long...
I mean, like... Yeah.
And then when was American Breed?
American Breed was 68.
So 68 to 84.
I mean, they were the members of these groups were doing important stuff. And then if you put Shaka in there, that continues into the 90s.
Yeah.
Like she was making huge records beyond.
And now is everybody still alive?
For the most part, surprisingly, for a band from the 70s.
Yay, go ahead, taking care of themselves.
I think the only member who has died is Nate Morgan, who was the keyboard player in the beginning. But it looks like everybody else is alive.
Now, does Rufus still play at all?
No, they do not.
They don't, but Shaka
still
plays.
So we can't get a show for the...
Well, I mean, there's a lot of groups that don't play anymore or don't play together
that
anymore.
That will reunite for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction.
For the honor of the Rock Hall, they will, whether they have differences or whatever it was, put all that aside to play one, sometimes one last show.
What are the big ones that have reunited for the induction?
Talking Heads is a huge one. That's the only time they've ever reunited and played. Cream reunited, and that was pretty big. And then the next category is innovation and influence.
Well, we did. I mean, I feel that we really kind of talked. The idea that they bridge the gap. You said it, like they bridge the gap through genre and time period of American music. They're the story of of the 70s. Like they're the whole that whole decade. They put out music throughout it all, and then they also changed with the times. Like they innovated and changed and were part of it, and you know, went on to be then, you know, influencing many other bands, but also Chaka Khan, obviously such an influential singer.
I mean, it cannot be understated. Chaka's really the link from Aretha and Tina to Whitney and Mariah. Like that's Chaka as a singer kind of owned the 70s and then continued into the 80s as well. I mean, she's one of the great singers of all time.
Yeah, I would agree.
And when Jametta and I were driving here, Higher Love came on, the Steve Winwood song.
I love that song.
And that's Chaka.
What?
She's the one singing along.
That makes total sense now. Mm-hmm. Also, I love that song.
And I was reading, she was supposed, they had recorded it and it was never released. Addicted to Love was supposed to be a duet between Robert Palmer and Chaka Khan.
What?
And they never released it, I think because her management or someone didn't want to overexpose her.
Oh.
And she, I think, was kind of pissed because I think she loved...
Because Addicted to Love is a bop. And yeah, she's and like, she was on it. I want on that shit. What would it be? Like, she'd be on the chorus?
Or would she just take a verse?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll
and
never hear it.
You know
it.
What, though? I will say then we would be missing... I doubt the video would have been...
What it was.
What it was if Chaka Khan had been in it. Maybe she would have been one of those swimsuit girls. Tube dress girls.
Or you
tube
get
dress.
A fully different... You get Robert Palmer with the women, and then you cut to Chaka, and she's got dudes.
My actual dream. Equal objectification. If we can't fix it, let's just at least make it equal.
Both sides of a dang coin.
Baby.
Last category, maybe the most important category. Does my mom know who they are?
Mary Pat definitely does, right?
Yeah, well, I believe, I mean, my mom definitely
knows
who
Chaka Khan
is.
I wonder if my mom knows who
Rufus
is. I bet she does.
But I think this speaks to the issue we've already kind of talked about, which is that the name Chaka is bigger than the band Rufus. That's what's complicating, I think, them getting in.
It is the me problem. I am the problem, which is I thought to myself, yeah, I know who Chaka Khan is, but what the hell
Why
is
should
Rufus?
I care about Rufus?
Yeah. Why should I care about Rufus?
And now
who
you know.
Cares about the Rock Hall?
Goddamn. All right, it's time for our verdict.
Okay.
Should Rufus featuring Chaka Khan be inducted in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? Will they? And if so, when? And will it be this very year?
Now, Kristen. I go first. I... absolutely am a convert. I'm like, also this is kind of music that I like, so it's very easy for me to come around on this. I absolutely think that they should be in. God, it is hard. So this is the seventh nomination in total, the
if
fifth
include,
for just the band
yes.
for the band and Chaka. It makes it really difficult. This is one of those ones that makes a great case for the thing that you brought up last week, which was the nominating committee should just get to automatically induct one and go circumvent the voting body.
If the voting body keeps fucking up.
Because like that's how
the committee should be able to say, and you guys don't get it. We're going to put him in.
Because it seems like that's what's happening with like Shaka and the MC5.
Kraftwerk.
And, like, Kraftwerk, things like that. Like bands that clearly the nominating committee wants to be in there. And they're like, well, we'll just keep putting them on there and hopefully, you know, everyone will wake up. So, I mean, God, I don't know if they, I want them in this year. Like to me, a perfect ballot is like all of the hard rock bands split the vote amongst each other. And then we just get kind of like rising to the top is Whitney, B.I.G., Rufus and Chaka Khan, Benatar. And then, you know, somebody else in the fifth wild card slot. Yeah. I really, whatever is fine. You know, the Doobie Brothers can get it. I don't care. Put in Don Rundgren, put in, I really T-Rex, don't care. Yeah. T-Rex, whatever. I don't care. That fits slot can go to somebody else. But, you know, that's how, that would be my dream. But I do think that with the kind of like, there's a little R&B niche on this. Like if you, as I would imagine many of the voters do, group like rap with R&B, meaning literally just like black music, considering that much of the voting body has traditionally been white men and old white men, makes me think that they are going to be less inclined. You know, all the members of KISS are voting and like they're not voting for any of the people that I just fucking named.
Yep.
And,
very true.
And you know, I'm mad about it. And that's why, so I don't know that they're going to get in this year. I want them to. It would be really awesome. I think that if they don't get in the next 5 years, something's going to have to happen, like what happened with Chic.
Right. There's going, the committee, the hall as an institution will intervene and say, well, if you're not going to vote them in, we're going to figure out a way for them to get in regardless. Jumetta, what do you think? Obviously, you think they should be.
Definitely think they should be in the hall. I still stand by my original statement that said that I think they should also be in the hall separately. Shaka should be there alone as well as with them. And as far as the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame nominating them next year, I feel like an institution that doesn't post the criteria of why and how they select their candidates do it to keep an invisible hand, if you will, that will keep the powers that be in place. And so I look forward to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame crumbling unless they show respect where it's due, which is all now. Over. And some transparency will help, because if you don't want us to assume that it's racist and biased selection going on, then be transparent about how you make your selections. Other than that, I'd say I feel about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame it's not like in line with America, but I'm pretty much ready for shit to be accountable and transparent. And so I really hope that they win next year. If they don't, I hope that they get whatever they can out of it. But I feel like acknowledgement, like you said, to have to circumvent for Nile Rodgers, who's written all these songs and been so contributive to our musical landscape. And the fact that all the only original genres of music that are American tend to be black music. And so the fact that the powers that be, our establishments, our institutions, are staying closed-minded to that, me as a black woman and an artist, I feel like it makes you have less regard for the institution. So if they want to stay relevant with the times that are changing, I would suggest them to be more transparent and to be a little less biased if you want to stay around, because things that don't go with the whole tend to be the thing that devolves. It goes like away.
Induct Rufus or crumble. All right.
Yeah, that was my premonition. So they have 7 years. I'll give them 7. You gave them 5. I'll give them 7, because we've got a lot of stuff to deal with. We got to impeach this president. We got to get somebody else in office. We got big fish to fry.
My mom wrote me back. I said, do you know the band Rufus? And then she said, yes, but I don't think they had a ton of hits. And then 5 seconds later, she wrote, Shaka Khan?
See?
So she, yeah. My mom, again, she knows Chaka Khan. Yeah. And she represents the mainstream on that one.
Yeah. I think Rufus featuring Chaka Khan should be. Absolutely. They already should be in there.
It's wild.
At this point, it's taken too long and it's a little embarrassing. It's hard to say if they will, given how much... how often they've been on the ballot and not gotten in. I think you made a good point, Kristen, that the lane would have to be fully clear. And it's, you know, it sucks that sometimes you have to see that for things to happen. Like, they will clear the lane for a hip-hop artist. Biggie's the only hip-hop artist on the ballot.
Even though, like, LL Cool J has been on in the last couple of years,
and
they were clearly trying to, like, make him the rap choice.
Trying,
you know,
to make it easy, and it sucks, but you respect it a little bit because the Hall's trying to make it easy for these artists to get in, but it shouldn't have to be so hard, you know? And so when Rufus has been nominated in the past, you would think, okay, is the main competition here, given genre, is it Whitney? Is there going to be vote splitting there?
I don't know, but I do think that Whitney is now the shoe-in and Biggie is less a shoe-in.
It's hard to tell because we don't know the vote totals also after this happens. So we don't know what's
transparency.
Happening.
Transparency.
I think what we might see happen and that might make it, okay, now we have to get Chaka in is, I mean, Janet got in, Whitney will get in, maybe Mariah will get in before. So then once we have...
That would be a travesty and an embarrassment.
Fully out of order, and I could see that happening and then
that
people
going... That
wouldn't
even just be out of order. That is just like... To even bring up Mariah Carey. And, like, I love her voice. Mm-hmm. But we're talking about lasting, like, being able to preserve your talent. Sarah Vaughan and Ella Fitzgerald sang until their 80s. Chaka is going to sing until the last breath that leaves her body. Mariah Carey sings with pre-recorded tracks and has gotten caught numerous times
on television,
embarrassingly so. And shout out to her because she has a great voice, but she needs to do things better for herself and for her healthcare regimen, apparently, because that should be a criteria. So I mean, I know you probably brought up her name like kind of randomly, but I was like, oh no, like no, no, she can't go in before Chaka.
I know, but she should not be in before
she can't go
Chaka.
In before
but I can
Chaka.
See that scenario where then people will go, wait a second, what are we doing? How did we put in all these people before Chaka? It's we gotta fix this error.
Yeah,
that's
really...
something I could see happening, but I don't know. I
think the one thing you can count on that's not on your question, that when you are an artist that is disregarded by the masses, you tend to not care. So that's the relevance, they might not even, not to say they don't care about the acknowledgement from the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, but to say they're probably not looking for it. 7 nominations and it hasn't happened. It's like, okay, well, when it does happen, yay. But like, when you've been waiting for the light to shine your way and you are the light, you tend to just shine. You tend to just shine and you don't wait. And so, like, maybe that's why I don't remember Janet getting the award last year, because it was like, it was good, but it was like, oh, okay, well, they usually overlook us anyway. So it's like, oh, great, you know? And so, I mean, maybe we didn't come to talk about that, but I hope they get nominated. And I'm happy you guys have this podcast because it gave me a greater insight into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. But I definitely, as a person that is an artist and that does try to make groundbreaking and cultural submissions, not just entertainment. I didn't aspire to get a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame award.
Yeah.
Because I didn't think they'd see me, you know, maybe they wouldn't see me. And so it's just, you want to be a part of a kid's dream. You want to be a part of a kid's aspiration when they're looking forward to making culture and art. If you consider yourself a cultural art institution that is giving out awards but not inspiring everyone. So I mean, even though we didn't come here to talk about that's what's on my heart to say, because it's odd that it's so difficult. And I think that's why I haven't paid much attention to the institution.
And you know, this, I come from a similar entry point into this, where I was like, what is in it for me? Why do I care about the Rock Hall at all? I'm not an artist, you know, but I look at it and I'm like, this is a white patriarchal institution that seems to celebrate itself and kind of feed into itself. And so, yes, it is really nice when there are these little, you know, chips made at the, you know, wall, and we're like, wow, the barrier might just come down someday. Mm-hmm. But really what we're, it just, when you look up and the wall is so big. And so, you know, for every Janet Jackson that gets in, and for every kind of like artist that, you know, or that it took a long time for them to get in, or they weren't given their due, you know, you look around and then there's some white mediocrity happening, and we're sweeping out the 60s.
But thank God for like artists like Bjork. Thank God for like true originators, that it's like color doesn't matter. It's not about color. It's when you start making exclusions based upon color and based upon experiential reference or contact with different cultures, because art and music is to be reflective of the cultures. And so if you have no relation with different cultures, you may not resonate with the music. But does that make the music less culturally relevant? Mm-hmm. When we're building a global exchange, the world has gotten more and more interconnected. Trump trying to build a wall, and it's like the walls can't be built in our minds. So my thing is, the minds are changing. And so I like to look forward to receiving an accolade from the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I want them to stay around and be relevant to the people, because you're saying you represent the people, but you don't. And that's what the government is doing, and you see what's happening with them. And so it's just like, look at TV, and just like,
well, we talk about this too, you know, the idea too, that's like rock and roll means counterculture, and now what's counterculture and what is important and what are the youth care about and kind of what is relevant to people these days and what, you know, is pissing off the parents and
then
all
if
that
it's
stuff.
Counterculture, how is it not just automatically is accepting to urban rap music,
that's,
which is completely counterculture.
That's counterculture.
Or punk
now.
Rock, the punk rock elements within Tyler the Creator, and all that is counterculture. So if you want to say that that's what it's about, you know, it's still a cultural submission. And so it's just like, what are we, you know, what are we doing?
Yeah. And then the question becomes, how can you accurately and appropriately honor counterculture if you're a business?
Yeah. And if, are you then counterculture? Or are you then exploiting the ideas of counterculture
for
to
profit.
Make money? Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is exactly what it is, which, you know, that's not what the show is about for sure.
No.
But it's good to talk about and explore.
All those things are, and I think technically the Rock Hall might be the foundation might be a nonprofit, but it is also a huge museum that has admission. Mm-hmm. And it if you want to sit at a table at the induction ceremony on the floor, it's $10,000 a seat.
So they got money.
So how do you reconcile being this rich person society, business, profit-oriented foundation,
entity,
while also wanting to reflect true art?
But did they say that was their company's mission statement?
You will sometimes at the induction ceremonies,
reflecting true art. Did they say that?
You hear words and terminology like that at the induction ceremonies when artists are being honored.
Oh, okay.
So that is often the feeling in the room. Mm-hmm. But is that at odds with the mechanism that's holding the whole thing up?
Well, I mean, it's like what we've said. I mean, I've said this many times on the show before too, which is like the least rock and roll thing you could ever do is be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Yeah. Like, you know, or want to be in the Rock Hall. You know, it's like, that's not very rock and roll to care what this stupid institution thinks about you. You know, that's like, that's not very rock and roll at all.
There are so many things that are conflicting each other with this thing, because at the same rate, nearly everyone who gets inducted, it means, you can tell it means so much to them
on a
personal level, and it's moving. And then you're like, oh, is this thing that I know on some level is evil, is it a good, we are honoring this person's lifetime achievement. Like, how beautiful is that? So there are so many, that's why it's a perfect thing to argue about, a perfect thing to have discussions about.
So multifaceted.
Yeah. Well, it's like, so many things at once.
And mm-hmm. also because it matters, but it absolutely does not.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that's what's really nice about it.
You can forget about it and then the next day be so mad about it. And then the next day forget about it again. And then the next day be like, oh, I'm watching a video of Prince playing While My Guitar Gently Weeps at an induction ceremony and going, this is the coolest thing I've ever seen.
Right.
And it's from an induction ceremony. Yeah. So it's the Rock Hall. What is it? Who knows?
And who cares?
Let's say
that's the name of the show. Yay!
So let's say Rufus featuring Chaka Khan does get in. Let's think positively. Let's say they get inducted.
Yes.
Let's talk about who inducts them. Who gives the speech? Ooh. I think there are two huge candidates. It would be Mary J. Blige, and it would be Stevie Wonder.
Ooh.
And that's going from both ends. Mary J. Blige, obviously influenced by...
And she inducted someone, didn't she?
She inducted Nina Simone.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, obviously inspired by not just Shaka as a vocalist, but the group. She did Sweet Thing Was a Song by Rufus, the band. So that would make a lot of sense. But then going the other way, kind of, in a sense, their godfather, the person who gave them Tell Me Something Good, the person who played harmonica on I Feel For You, Stevie Wonder.
But who might not be up to giving a speech.
Well, he's shown up.
Yeah.
He inducted Bill Withers.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but I'm talking about, like, how's his health? Like,
oh, these days?
Yeah.
Well, didn't you just see him in concert?
I did see him in concert at Red Rocks in Denver recently.
Last year, right? So, a few months ago. Oh, yeah, and he was like fully...
He had a sore throat, but that was it.
Oh, nice.
Otherwise,
nice.
It was pretty great.
And he was... Yeah, well, it's Stevie. My vote is for Stevie to induct them.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be really great.
And I think those to me are the two leading candidates. But like we've talked about, there are so many vocalists who were inspired by Shaka who could do it and could do a good job.
I feel like Stevie the Bill Withers knows the dues that were paid to even get there, though. To be able to say, yeah, they finally gave you your due,
yeah.
I think would be the speech that I would be more interested in hearing.
Mm-hmm. Now, if we're talking about the band members that they include, they've already said, obviously, Shaka, and then Tony Maiden, who we've talked about, who's the guitar player, who's very close with Shaka. There's a guy named Al Siner, who was one of the American Breed guys, who was the guitar member before Tony Maiden. Kevin Murphy, who played keyboards the whole time, every incarnation of the group. A guy named Ron Stockert, and then Nate Morgan were also keyboard players, but the person who replaced Nate Morgan, Hawk Walensky, the dude who wrote uh-huh. Ain't Nobody and Do You Love What You Feel, has not been included, and I think
that's
he should be.
Crazy.
And then also,
but they could amend that.
They could. They absolutely could. Andre Fisher, the drummer, and then bass players Bobby Watson and Dennis Belfield, lots of members of Rufus throughout the years.
And pretty much everybody is still alive and around
except
the keyboard guy.
Except for Nate Morgan, right, the keyboard guy, yes. And then what songs do they play? Let's say Rufus reunites for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction ceremony. They play three or four songs. I think, obviously, they have
they
to play
Tell Me Something Good.
And I think they would also play Ain't Nobody.
Obviously.
And then what other, I think, once you get started, could maybe be a good track for them. I think also maybe Do You Love What You Feel? I don't know, those if we're thinking of like what would be a good set that pulls from
that
different albums.
That song is so funky.
Yeah, song's funky as hell.
I'll say it again, funky.
Yeah.
I can't stop.
She likes saying it, makes her feel kinky.
It does. I'm like, gosh, meanwhile, I've got my hands tied behind my back eating a hoagie off a table.
Maybe do Sweet
funky.
Thing as a duet with
Mary,
with J. Mary
Blige. J. Blige. What would I do to
You'd
see
explode.
That?
You'd explode.
I would really enjoy that. If she came out...
Mary would be fly, too. Her boot game is on
point.
Truly. And shout out to Mary. I think she just turned 50, and she looks great.
She truly does.
Yeah. She would definitely look beautiful standing next to Shaka Khan singing that song.
She looked unreal at the Nina Simone induction.
That's what I mean. Yeah, she always slays.
Let's say Rufus featuring Shaka Khan is getting into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and they're going to reunite, and they're going to play. Would you go to the induction ceremony, Jametta?
If it's $10,000 for a seat,
no. We...
I'm not going.
Those are the seats on the floor.
Yeah, those are floor seats. Oh, we got $40 seats or $60 seats.
Yeah.
Okay.
For the last one.
You could come sit with us with the regular people.
Yeah, with the regular people.
You guys do field trips?
Yeah.
Yeah, we went last year. It was in New York, but this next year it'll be in Cleveland.
Oh, what time of year?
May.
So it'll be nice. It'll actually be nice.
That's nice.
Not too bad. Well, Jeanetta, thank you so much for joining us and being a part of this.
Thanks for having me. This was cool. I didn't know what to expect in coming.
Uh-huh.
And it was nice. I'm happy we were all able to be ourselves and like explore your interests. Because this is definitely your interest, Joe.
Interest, and you guys are very nice to come along.
However, it was fun because I learned some things and, you know, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
And I would love to give you the opportunity to plug your music or your social media, whatever you want to get out there and for people to go see.
Oh yeah, come and follow my Instagram. I'll be posting information. I started a soul and jazz choir, and I write original music for it, and our next show is going to be on November 29th in Lamart Park. It's our first show in Lamart, but we've only done about 6 shows now, but we turned out the Broad. It was a sold out show at the Broad Museum.
Incredible.
So I'm trying to make more culture. And so if you'd like to be abreast of what I'm doing, follow me at Jeanetta Rose, and the choir is at The Voices of Creation.
That's great.
I just followed you both. I'm
yay. I'm going to follow you back.
This perfect. Is
good for me.
I've also
listened to some of Jeanetta's music on Spotify as well.
I
was trying to get rid of it. It's the only thing I did. I didn't listen to anything else. I don't do research on anything else.
No, but I was but like, Kristen, you better listen
said,
to this woman.
You better listen to this woman. And
like
I said,
her.
Okay. And you were absolutely
I was
right.
Like, you're gonna,
oh my gosh, did I get a funky head now?
Yes. I was really, I really enjoyed it.
And you can follow us at Rock Hall Pod on Twitter and Instagram. Email us rockhallpod@gmail.com if you want Kristen to see it. You're gonna have to say that somewhere in the message. Subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, rate and review us 5 stars only. If you're leaving a review because of this episode, you say Rufusized? So we know that you listened to this episode.
What if they don't know how to spell Rufusized?
I want them to express themselves however they see fit.
Be creative.
Thank you to everybody who watched my Comedy Central special. You can access it now on demand on your cable package, or you can go to my website, joequazala.com, and that will have all the links to if you want to see it on Comedy Central's website, or you can get it on Amazon, YouTube, whatever. Thank you, everyone, for the kind words about that as well. Thank you to Mike Lloyd for the logo. Thank you to Yusu Kim for the music. Thank you to Future Rock Legends for all the information that we utilize for this podcast. Thank you to Joe Devine for the equipment. Thank you to Chad Briggs and Dave Schilling for letting us record in the home that I share with them. And thank you to Pantheon Podcasts for hosting us. I'm Joe Quazala.
I'm Kristen Studdard.
And who cares
about the Rock Hall?
Hey diggers, this is an announcement. Episode 18 is on the way. We are in the final polish. All the bodywork, sanding, and the paint has been put on this rocket ship, so we just need that final coat to finish. Coming out of the last few episodes of the Rock and Roll Archaeology podcast that concentrated on specific geographies like London, LA, San Francisco, and New York, we are now in the home stretch of our time in the 1960s. And so with this one, it's not about a place on a map, but a year in the life. It's called Episode 18, 1969, and it's a year so big in rock and roll, it'll take 2 episodes to tell the full tale. Part 1 will cover mostly the first half of the year. We'll spend most of our time in the UK checking in with the Beatles as they are beginning to fray internally, while friends and competitors, the Rolling Stones, are about to become the greatest rock and roll band in the world. Of course, the Fab Four are still able to be the Beatles, so therefore they are not going down without a fight. And the Glimmer Twins must make a sacrifice to achieve the greatness of that 68-73 run of peak Stones. Then we go beyond England and America and venture into outer space, where we dissect the moonshot and how it affected society and the arts. So, like the sci-fi that surrounds the very real human endeavor, we will peek into the future ourselves with some rock and rollers that will really take us into the next decade. So hold tight. It won't be long now. It's coming, and we think you will all be pleased. Episode 18, 1969, Part 1. Tell a friend.
As a new Western Union customer, you can enjoy a $0 transfer fee on your first international online money transfer. Send money to your loved ones back home the fast, easy, and reliable way. Visit WesternUnion.com or download their app today to get started. And your first transfer fee is free. Services offered by Western Union Financial Services, Inc., NMLS 906983, or Western Union International Services, LLC, NMLS 906985. FX Gains Apply.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Fernino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune into Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.